Good morning, and I am here with Lance Davis, and you have a big job because if they don't telework, every federal employee is in a building that you own and operate, GSA.
Absolutely.
So tell us about this whole design excellence architecture. What I wanted to ask you right off the bat was most people work in old buildings,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to get to some of the new construction that GSA has accomplished, but if you work in an old building, or you're responsible for an old building, what can you do besides the things that were done in the 70s to make these buildings sustainable?
Well, one of the things we're doing right now is coming in and rethinking how we utilize these existing buildings. We're getting rid of this concept of everyone having their own individual office or potentially having their own cubicle. Now we're going to this idea of changing how people work. One of the great things about the conference today is we're starting to talk about the idea of cloud computing, of hoteling, of people working from remote locations. So how do we take all of this and integrate it into the architecture, that existing building we have, and transform it? Turn it into a different way of working for the federal worker.
Now, you say take away offices or maybe rethink cubicles. What will we have?
Well, that depends on the agency, and that depends on the workforce. I think that's one of the big aspects from an architectural perspective that we're having to understand. How do people work? Right now, my administrator for GSA doesn't work in her own, grand office. She works in an office with three or four other people. Same thing with the commissioner of PBS.
Has she seen the GSA administrator's office? It's one of the greatest offices in Washington.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But they're going to a different way of working. And so we're taking that throughout agencies, and we're offering that to other federal agencies. Instead of having grand, space that you have to pay for, with all the energy usage, with all the HVAC usage, if we can optimize that and still allow people to do the best possible job they can at reduced energy, at reduced cost, it's great for everyone.
Now, if you look at the National Building Museum, that used to be the Civil War Pension Building,
mm-hmm.
and there's this great vast floor there, and at one time all the clerks processing pensions and paper all sat in rows and rows of desks, almost like a cartoon from the 1940s.
Right.
Is that going to come back to the federal government?
That's what we're – hopefully not. That's one of the things we're trying, lots of different ways of working, lots of understanding how people interact with each other. We don't want this idea of trying to cram hundreds of thousands of people into, a space without understanding how they can best do their job. And I think that's the most important thing that we need to be considering as we do any work that we do, be it an IT solution, be it an architectural solution, be it in the realm of sustainability. What's the most important thing we can do to help people do their jobs?
Now, back in the Clinton administration, GSA was experimenting with workstations within buildings that were very innovative relative to what was available then.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have a lot of technology, a lot of lighting, a lot of amenities, but in a small space that didn't seem so small because of the way it was set up. Is that the kind of thing you're reexamining?
Yeah, I think we're looking at workstations. We're looking at different ways of thinking of lighting. I work in front of two, large flat-screen monitors. I don't need any overhead light. And so the fact that when I walk in, my motion sensor automatically turns it on, well, yeah, we saved energy during the nighttime. But during the daytime, those monitors are glowing back at me. I don't need any light coming off. And so we're trying to come back in and rethink how the people are doing their work and what do they really need to do that type of work they're doing.
And so how might all of this thinking get translated into action for GSA and for the people that are in these buildings now, the managers?
Well, in our own building, central office for the General Services Administration, we're going from 2,300 people that are in there now to around 6,300 people. Once the renovation is done, we're going to consolidate several buildings in the D.C. area. We're going to the hoteling aspect. We're looking at IT solutions where people don't have to come into the office every day. I can work from home. I mean, I had the joy of, traveling over here, and it took me nearly an hour, which was crazy. I'd much rather have just, been able to stay at home, walk down in my pajamas, and done the work that needed to get done that day, and then gone back and spent time with my family.
So with 2,300 to 6,300, you're not talking about a hot mattress operation like a submarine.
No.
Well, that's good. We're speaking with Lance Davis. He's Program Manager for Design Excellence Architecture at the Public Building Service at the GSA. And let's talk about the new construction. Now, GSA, I think, has won some awards for LEED certified building. Tell us what you're doing there in the area of new construction.
Certainly. And we utilize the LEED rating system to help raise the level of our buildings. It's been a fantastic tool for us, especially in the design teams and construction teams that we hire. We find that teams that really understand the LEED system can provide us a very high building sustainability without additional cost. And that's part of the great changing of this market that's happening, is people who understand the systems, who can better integrate them, are the ones who can add sustainability in to integrate it in without additional cost. And that's been a big benefit for GSA.
So have you made LEED a requirement of all new federal buildings?
Absolutely. LEED Gold. They have platinum, gold, silver, and certified. So LEED Gold is our standard for all of our owned construction. For leases, lease construction, we require LEED Silver. And so we're dealing with what the market is able to bear for us, and it's been very successful. We see lots of market competition happening out there. One developer will come in with the LEED Silver, one comes in with the LEED Gold, another comes in with the LEED Platinum. They're competing against each other to provide the government the best building they can.
Now, when people think of LEEDs and sustainability, we think first probably of electricity and lighting and heating, ventilating, air conditioning systems. What other parts of a building make it sustainable? Like, for example, the durability of the materials that it's made out of. Is that part of it?
Absolutely. GSA is the proud owner of nearly, 1.3 million square feet of land in the country. And one of the things that does, and one of the things we found, is that it extends the life of your roof membrane for years. We've got some roofs that were put in the 20s with a planted roof on them that are still in place. That sort of investment of an American tax dollars lasting that long versus the 12 to 20 years we might get out of a roof, that's where sustainability's taken us. Looking at things differently, expanding that overall durability of buildings.
Now, a planted roof means the plants that are planted on top of the roof, a living roof. And you say some of these were done in the 1920s?
Absolutely.
So when did we forget about that great idea?
I think it got lost along the way. It came back a little bit in the 70s, and in the last 10 years or so, we've really started putting a lot more down. In D.C., we've got some great success stories with planted roofs put in the early 70s that are still in place, look great. And a lot of times people don't even know they're a planted roof.
You can water the hydrangeas and also do good for the environment.
Absolutely.
And what about water? I think a lot of employees worry about trying to save too much water in the building. They might be asked, can I wash my hands and that kind of thing. What's going on there?
Water is going to be, a fantastic design opportunity for us. We take a campus like St. Elizabeth's, where we're working with the Department of Homeland Security and the Coast Guard.
In Southeast Washington.
Yeah. And you take that facility and you design it and you integrate water into the overall architecture. And so we have planted roofs, we have living walls, we have courtyards. We're designing rain gardens and ponds that are all integrated with the architecture, integrated to make the overall site a better site for the people there. And we're going to try capturing every drop of rainwater that falls on that site. So now it's not running into the Anacostia or the Potomac. We're not dirtying up our waterways. We've got a beautiful campus.
But what about water for, washing, flushing, drinking, that kind of thing? I think people worry if that gets too low, it might be kind of unpleasant.
Well, what we're doing is we're relooking at what types of water do we use for what aspects. Do I really need to take water that's been treated to drinking water standards and flush it down the toilet? Probably not. What I should be doing is looking
at... Unless your dog comes to work and drinks there, but otherwise, no.
No, what we're really looking for is, can I take processed water that was used for something else that's fairly clean but isn't up to drinking water standards and used to flush the toilet? Things like washing your hands, your drinking water, should be at the highest quality of water that we utilize. We're capturing that rainwater. We're reusing it in some locations, really trying some different things out.
So you can see the day where there might be this faucet is potable, this one is for watering your plants.
Possibly, yeah. We can see the day where that living roof may be treating our sewage on top of our building in a beautiful and clean way, giving us water that we can then flush in our toilets again and having a living cycle working there.
Lance Davis is Program Manager for Design Excellence Architecture at the Public Building Service at the General Services Administration. Thanks for joining us. Interesting stuff.
Thank you very much.
And reporting live from the AFSEA Energy and Environment IT Day in Bethesda, Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.